Unusual Cargo, written by Doty Take This Down, and read by Wilfriede 0815. Fandom, original work. Summary. Nareen, Ascension cargo ship, is engaged to transport horses across the galaxy.
Pardon me,
I say, trying not to wince at the thud of hooves against my insides.
What are those doing in here?
Special request from the top brass, Captain McGlynn says, supervising the horses as they're loaded into my cargo hold. Sorry we didn't have time to warn you that this is what they were asking us to carry.
I am not a livestock carrier.
I know. Captain McGlynn pets the wall in a gesture that I'm sure would be comforting if I were human. As it is, it only serves to make my circuits crawl, struggling to sort through the horses coming in and my crew getting settled at their posts. It's only this once, I promise.
Better be. Why aren't they in cryo?
It was deemed too dangerous and too expensive. Some of these horses are endangered breeds, and it would be our heads if we impacted their fertility.
They aren't pregnant.
I stop there, not even wanting to finish the question. The only thing worse than having horses filling the cargo hold is having more horses filling the cargo hold. No, none of them are pregnant, and we've separated the mares and stallions. McGlynn pats the wall again, and I send the overload of sensation through the lighting system. The overhead lights in Sector B flicker for a moment. The thought of these creatures breeding inside of me sends another shockwave through the light system, affecting Sector E this time. At least no one's in there yet, because the mess hall encompasses that whole space. I need to get myself under control. This is no way to begin a long-distance space flight. I'm Nareen. My duty is to transport anything deemed necessary. It doesn't matter if this time the cargo is a little more active than usual.
Are the horses going to require anything during the journey?
You're to treat them as any other cargo. We're bringing on two additional hands to oversee their care. Okay, I can handle this. Any other cargo?
Understood, Captain.
There's no sound in space, but within my confines, it's never silent. There's the constants, like the hum of the air filtration system or the rush of water through pipes. There's the familiar, like Captain McGlynn snoring as she sleeps in her bunk, or Engineer Kiernan cursing up a storm as he tries to track down the root cause of a minor system error. I could tell him, but he doesn't ask me. And then there's the horses. They're never silent either, even when they sleep. They snort and nicker and pace circles in their holding stalls, and I just have to fly through space and take it because of the orders by the top brass. Ridiculous. A foreign sensation rolls through my structure. So intense, one of the panels in an unused corridor buckles. Signals race, tracing the source to the mare, currently rubbing her hindquarters against one of my walls. I send a zap of electricity through the metal, calibrating to match the weakest electric fence on my record. She squeals and kicks the wall. Touché, Mare, I grumble to myself, but she doesn't go back to scratching on me, so mission accomplished. The alert reaches my systems long before it does the alarms. A solar radiation storm, courtesy of the nearest star. A strong one, too, possibly the strongest I've ever encountered. The crewed areas of the ship have extra shielding, though, so they'll be fine. The cargo hold wasn't designed to transport living cargo. It's shielded, but not to the same level that the crew can expect, and there's no telling what this radiation could do to biological DNA. The calculations take less than a second. Changing our course takes almost a few more. Nareen! Captain McGlynn shouts from the control deck. What's going on? She's barely finished speaking when the alarms finally trigger. I redirect them before the sound can reach the cargo hold, not wanting to cause the excitable beast there more trauma than I already am.
Solar radiation storm, Captain,
I tell her in a rush.
Course change already implemented. The shielding is lacking in the cargo hold, and we must avoid the storm.
The horses? Captain McGlynn's voice is calmer now, more cautious.
We'll be fine, Captain.
Captain McGlynn lets out a deep sigh and requests the trajectory of our new course, but she doesn't push through a chance. Thank you, Nareen.
It's my duty, Captain.
I don't need to check on the horses. Captain McGlynn made that clear. Still, I can't help it. These horses are my cargo, and I want to make sure they're having a pleasant journey. It's the only explanation for why I add a brief check-in with them onto my daily roster of tasks. After I confirm the operating capacity of the water system and air filtration system, I tap into the hold's cameras. A quick data download tells me all I need to know about these animals. Their eating, drinking, and waste output all seem to be within normal parameters, as are their heart rates, respiration, and temperatures. I don't have any parameters to measure their mental status, and a data search doesn't yield any results. I'd simply ask them. I can be fluent in any recorded language, but it turns out that horse isn't a recorded language, and even if it was, it relies largely on body language. Difficult to attempt communication when I don't have a body. With nothing else to go on, I simply observe the horses. There's a brown stallion that likes to paw at his hay to get the finest bits. A chestnut mare that will only drink if her water is mixed with Gatorade. A grey mare that paces circles around her stall until she wears a path in the bedding, only to do it again once her stall's been cleaned. They are, to borrow a human expression, cute as a button. Not that I would ever record that in my log. Akiroisi looks beautiful, even from light years away. The continents contain a mixture of forests and grasslands, ideal for both humans and horses.
I know you don't know where we are going,
I tell the horses when the stable hands are off in the mess hall.
But I think you're going to love it.
We enter the atmosphere on the north side of the largest continent, as instructed. The entry comes with only minimal turbulence, and when I check in on the horses, they seem to be exhibiting only the slightest signs of anxiety. Just as long as none of them try kicking my walls again. The landing is even smoother, if I do say so myself. Captain McGlynn allows me to handle the descent, which is really the best for everyone involved. The air outside is 23.88 degrees Celsius, lovely based on the discussions of my crew, and there is no sign of rain in the skies. My radar detects horses less than a mile away, along with a number of humans.
Goodbye,
I say to the horses before their stable hands come to prepare them to depart.
Live good lives.
Don't worry, Captain McGlynn tells me from the bridge, lowering the hatch nearest the cargo bay. They'll have every comfort on this planet.
I'm not worried.
I monitor the horses' vitals carefully as the cargo hold begins to acclimatize to the planet's atmosphere. Their respiration and heart rates are both up, although that could be down to excitement. Perhaps they know they've reached their new home, or at least that something has changed. Once they've had time to adjust, I watch the stable hands lead them one by one out of the hold and to the humans waiting below. It shouldn't, but it feels different than observing the unloading of food or seeds or medical equipment, or even the time I carry chilled units of cattle semen. I won't miss them. I don't miss things, but I wish I could write a line of code that would keep an eye on them, even here. Ridiculous, isn't it? The end.